Exodus 23. Verse 1. We're, of course, after the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, we see the Lord through Moses expanding, not giving new commandments, really, but expanding on the core of the Ten Commandments that branch out into other areas of life. Verse 1, you shall not bear a false report. Do not join your hand with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his dispute. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under its load, you shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall surely release it with him. You shall not pervert the justice due to your needy brother in his dispute. Keep far from a false charge, and do not kill the innocent or the righteous, for I will not acquit the guilty. You shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of the just. You shall not oppress a stranger, since you yourselves know the feeling of a stranger, feelings of a stranger, for you also were strangers in the land of Egypt. Let's pray. Lord, you are a God of justice, and this is an attribute of yours, a characteristic of yours, that should cause all men to fear you, that injustice will not be allowed to continue in your kingdom. That although at a present time it could, and for some years it could, and even for some generations it could, but Lord, in the end it will not be able to stand. And the whole matter of the fear of God is that nothing that we do to pervert the justice that is due and right in this world, none of that can prevail. Because, Lord, you are an eternal God and you are a just judge. And therefore, Lord, we are to be a just people. When we lack the fear of God, we know, Lord, that people do not act in justice. So, Lord, we pray for that fear of God to be in us always. Lord, it would be a great world if it would spread further into the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Justice is, of course, a hot topic now. People pretend, at least, to care about it. We want justice. And presidential candidates already announced for the Democratic side. I guess he's running as a Democrat. This is his statement. Our campaign is about transforming our country and creating a government based on the principles of economic, social, racial, and environmental justice. That is also termed, at least a portion of that, social justice. Social justice, note here, now all the justice we're going to be doling out here. Economic justice, racial justice, environmental justice, social justice. In, to put it as nicely as I can, they don't have a clue what they're talking about. Justice is not when I don't get my way. If you have a house that's 1,000 square feet and someone you know has a house that's 2,000 square feet, does the fact that they have a house twice the square footage as your house constitute injustice? No, it does not. That is, there's no injustice in that whatsoever. You're not owed even a 1,000-square-foot house. No wrongdoing has been done. Now, if the person with a 2,000-square-foot house has that 2,000-square-foot house, and that house used to be your 2,000-square-foot house, and they came in and they took it from you, and you've not been able to get it back, that would be injustice because they've stolen the house. If we live in a prosperous country, and in many ways we do, it's also full of evil. But we live in a prosperous country, and someone else in another part of the world lives in a very third world, low economic country. Is that injustice? It's absolutely not injustice. Nobody is being unjust to anybody. It just happens to be where you grew up. Do you consider it to be injustice if I was born in North Carolina and you all were born in South Carolina? Where's the injustice there? We wouldn't say it would be, because if we're glad we were born where we were born, there's no injustice. But someone who's born in, like, say, Minnesota, and now here we are in South Carolina. Is it injustice that she, meaning you know who, has to put up with the winters we have here in the hot summers? Is that injustice? Absolutely not. She would never say it was. It just is the way it is. If your friend and you went to the Dollar Tree, whatever it is, dollar store, and you bought two boxes of toothpicks that said there were 500 toothpicks in each box. And because you had absolutely nothing else whatsoever in the world to do, you got home and you counted them. And in your toothpick box, there were exactly 500 toothpicks. But in your friend's, there were 501 toothpicks. Has injustice occurred? Absolutely not. You got your 500. Now, if the people are selling 500, there's actually 400 in there, then that's injustice. You see, injustice is not what people just get triggered over. When this guy says that he wants to bring justice, starting with economic justice in this context means that the rich have too much money and they need to share that with us poor people, so that there is an equality. That is so ridiculous that even I, not an economist, see through it. If you evened all the money out, and remember at one time there was that, at the beginning of creation, everybody had about pretty much the same thing. So once you do that, somebody over here is going to start working harder, somebody over here is going to work less, and this person over here is going to get more money, and this person is going to get less money, and within a few years, it's all going to be back exactly the way it was. But that's what is meant, to make everybody have the same amount of money. And even then, that would not be true, because others would have more. When it speaks of social justice, that's pretty wide ranging. It usually is speaking of people being oppressed in some way. And some ways that the way people are oppressed is that they can't be the opposite sex. They are oppressed by being born a girl and they want to be a guy. Or they were born a guy and they want to be a girl. And they have an oppression here. And in order to help that out, they want to change over, and they want society to accept that. That would be social justice in their view. You have to accept me the way I am. Let me, you know, be whatever I want to be. If you're a father, you can be a mother. See, they consider that to be part of justice. It also involves the money aspect as well. But it's trying to balance things out. Racial justice would mean, in this context, that the things that happened in 1825, 1840, that needs to be paid for today to those who are the children of those who were so treated. Reparations and stuff. That's injustice in itself. A lot of what is called justice today and the demands for justice are either immoral or just outright unjust in themselves. But the Bible says that the world will do that, call good bad and bad good. Environmental justice, of course, is Mother Earth standing here, and here we are, evil people, humans over here, and we're unjustly treating her, who does not actually exist. And we're driving cars and flying planes and all those things that cause the world to be destroyed, and it's been swallowed so hook, line, and sinker that they can't even imagine that it's a bunch of hooey. But there it is. So economic justice would mean smoothing things out with the planet that we're destroying by driving home. Every one of you tonight driving home, just take a knife and stab the ground with it when you get home. That's exactly what you're doing. Stabbing Mother Earth right in the heart. It's beyond loony. But there's not a word in any of this about the life of the unborn. Have you noticed that? Whenever people speak about justice and social justice and balancing the wrongs of the past and evening out all this economic injustice, nobody says anything about all the millions of babies who are killed in the womb. Nobody says a thing about it because they don't really care. Until the world cares about the unborn babies being murdered, everything else they cry out for about justice is absolutely unwarranted. I don't believe a word of it. They don't care about justice if the most obvious thing is something they won't do. But justice is something that God looks at and approves of. Injustice is something God looks at and is not approving of. If someone who looks like you robs the bank, they come to your house and arrest you. That's injustice. If a crime was committed and the police decide that it had to be committed by a black person, so they go and arrest a black person just for being black, that would be injustice. And the other way around as well. Anything God sees that the world comes out on the other side of would be injustice. And there's, of course, many instances of that. But if I get home and my toothpaste tube does not work properly and my neighbor got the same toothpaste and their toothpaste tube works perfectly, that is not injustice. Sorry. You got a bad tube of toothpaste. But we live in a world where everybody's offended by, if they're not offended, they're looking for a way to be offended. And whatever they're offended about, justice to them is to where that is dealt with. If they're hurt by somebody wearing a hat that supports the president, justice to them is making that illegal. Again, not abortion would still be illegal, but we got to get these red hats off people. You see, this is the way the world thinks. And so this chapter begins with these matters of justice. And remember that one of the Ten Commandments is that you would not bear false witness. That was the ninth one. Verse 16 of Exodus 20, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Is there any occasion that you notice today where people bear false witness against their neighbor? Do you ever hear anybody telling an outright lie about someone? I learned this as a young kid watching Bonanza. And Ben Cartwright was wrongly accused, was being set up by other ranchers, I guess jealous because they don't have the Ponderosa. Ben Cartwright got a bunch of his friends together and sat in his living room for hours and waited for someone to show up at the door and tell them all that he just saw Ben Cartwright do a crime. And Ben Cartwright said, "I've been sitting here the whole time with these men." I don't remember what happened after that. I guess the guy took off and ran. See, they tried to perpetuate injustice. That would be, in the eyes of God, injustice. Falsely being accused. But unfairness is not injustice. Growing up in the 1800s, before there was the internet and TV, that's not injustice. It is just circumstance. Being poor is not injustice. Being rich is not injustice. But people today, if they get offended by something, want something somebody else has, they call it injustice. Well, the Lord is not going to talk about that. But what is truly injustice? Look at what is being said here. You should not bear a false report. Do not join your hand with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. You can't even watch the news without those first two verses being violated. And what happens? A few weeks ago, a kid was standing there and something in Washington, I guess it was, and some Indian was beating a drum next to him, and the news reports, the TV news, I guess, got a hold of it and created a story that they were yelling obscenities and racist statements at the Indian and hindering him and surrounding him and threatening him. It turned out that everything about what they said was true except everything they said. I saw today that the kid is suing the Washington Post for $250 million. And I personally hope he gets every penny of it. Because they make up stories. They just decide to go with it. And when that happens, a guy is accused of a race hoax now in Chicago. Came out and said, you know, all these people put a noose around his neck, called him bad names, and told him to get out of town because, you know, they were Trump supporters. And it turns out that whole thing's made up now. He made the whole thing up. And what happened when he did? The news and the Hollywood celebrities tweeted about it, ran with it for days, about how evil our country is and how evil the president is, and did not think for a moment whether it was factual or not. These first two verses don't do it. You shall not bear a false report. Let's just imagine network news, that on this particular day in network news, they're going to follow this command. You shall not bear a false report. So they come on, and no sound comes out. Because they've not done it in years, and they don't know what to say. Because it's all about an agenda. And we all know that. But people joining in, setting things up to make themselves look good, to advance an agenda, to slander people, to destroy them. The Supreme Court justice was another. We've been told that if a woman makes an accusation against a man, it has to be believed. That is injustice. It can only be believed if it's true. I understand that you can't just throw it off and act like it never happens. It does happen. And if it does happen and it's not dealt with, that's an injustice. But you can't just say so-and-so did this and you give him no due process and then go and convict him. That would be injustice. You got to have it on both sides. You can't just have it on one side. But once the one came out, a couple others came out. Turned out neither one of them even met the man. And the one who was the first one, turned out that she didn't know a lot of things either. But you see, the media hit the ground running because they're going to push a false report if it's along the lines of what they believe. See, in the eyes of God, it's wrong. It's unjust. That is true injustice, not circumstances. And peer pressure, verse 2, and the rush to convict and to accuse and to condemn, verse 2 mentions. People start going a certain way, and immediately everybody believes it. And they have a point, because once the news comes out and people make up a story, like apparently the Washington Post, a bunch of others did, that's what is remembered, the first thing. Any kind of exoneration is a whisper, but the accusation is a roar. And it breaks people's lives apart. But they don't care, you see. That's the hatred of it. Justice is loving. Injustice is hateful. And when a person falsely accuses anything or anybody of injustice, and it's not, that is hate. The commands, remember, were summarized by the Lord as saying, love God and love your neighbor. Here's a love your neighbor, you have justice. You don't make up things. You don't do things that are displeasing to God to your neighbor. Verse 3 is similar, nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his dispute. Man's poor, it can go two ways. A man can be poor, you cannot pay any attention to him because he's poor. Or a man can be poor, you can give him more attention because he's poor. And the rich have an advantage, the rich have money, the rich have lawyers, therefore the poor man must be right and the rich man must be wrong. No. A rich man and a poor man can lie just as much as either side. Just by being poor or rich or an American or whatever else does not clear you of injustice. You have to balance it out according to the facts. You shall not be partial to anybody. The natural thing, oh, this guy's so poor, let's give him a couple of billion dollars to settle it up. That's if it's a false accusation, it's not justice to do that. Hatred drives this. And one thing I think is, if we look at this and we compare what we see here to today, when they talk about justice today, they are concerned about justice for themselves in a selfish way. A personal preference kind of way. And you'll find that when governments, or local to state to federal, when they have no courage, they will give in to accusations and little offenses that people have. I would deal with it differently. If someone would have said, you know, I'm offended by the fact that under God is in the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm offended by that. I don't like it. So I think in California they just said, well, we'll just take it out. I would have said, get over it. Get treatment. Get some earplugs, and when it gets to the point where they say that, plug your ears then. People are catered to in selfishness, and that's what people who are speaking of social justice, they're actually trying to perpetuate a leaning they have. God's justice is impartial and truthful, and it's about others because it's about truth. The people that wanted to not bake a cake for a gay couple because they were Christians and did not want to bake a cake for a gay couple getting married. That is entirely up to them to do. It is not injustice. It is not a hate crime. It's none of that. But then they were driven out of business because of this selfish push. That's not justice. Justice is thinking of other people. Justice is loving others. If you are a man, and you're proud to be a man, and you are labeled toxic masculinity, there's nothing wrong with masculinity. The answer today for our world is if you're masculine, you should get more feminine. If you're feminine, you should get more masculine, because equality is also being sought there. That the masculine and the feminine balance out. Everything's got to be in balance. And of course, when you get a man who is more feminine and you get a woman who's more masculine, then you're looking for a time machine to go back to the 1930s, because it's not going to be pretty. So much is what is called injustice, isn't it? Have you heard, if you've been walking out in the woods lately or driving by or having a bush out there, has the bush ever yelled at you saying how bad you're treating it? Mike, you probably never, in cutting all the trees you've cut, ever have one talk back to you telling you to stop it. You're deforesting the planet. The world is a non-being, and yet we're seeking environmental justice for it. Polar bear on an ice cap in the Arctic Circle. And people look at it and go, oh, I'm good, man. And if you took the wide shot, of course, you'd have had a bunch of polar bears out there. But if you focus in on this one and you give him a name and you say it's what he did today and how sad he was because he's got this one little ice cube he's standing on. And you ratchet up the emotion, and suddenly everybody from here to California is saying, we got to do something about global warming. We're melting the ice caps. Science says we're not, but they say we are, so that, of course, that means we are. And they say it's injustice, but it's not. You see, all these commands are justice, and they are loving, and they are perpetuating a loving society. Verse 4, if you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him. That's not my problem. That's my neighbor's problem. Especially if he's an enemy. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey, well, even then? You mean if my enemy's, I'm not going to kind of hide it? No. Love and justice is justice. It's his. He should have it back. In the eyes of God, he should have his ox back. So give it back to him. Same with the next verse. If you see a donkey of one who hates you, lying helpless under its load, you shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall surely release it with him. Probably worded bad. Help him. Get it back to him. Don't just leave it out there because that's your enemy. That serves him right. The donkey doesn't deserve that, at least. God is even concerned about animals in the right way. But again, loving, thinking of others. Verse 6, you shall not pervert the justice due to your needy brother in his dispute. Perverting justice means, you know, no bribes. In verse 8, you shall not take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of the just. Verse 7, keep far from a false charge. Do not kill the innocent or the righteous, for I will not acquit the guilty. Do not kill the innocent or the righteous. Where could we possibly be doing that since 1973? 61 million babies. And if a whale washes up on a California beach, the whole community runs down there and says, we got to do something about global warming that's shrinking the ocean water and making these whales not have enough water to swim in, and they get beached and die. But don't you try to stop us from killing unborn children. If you said to me right now, the world is a crazy place, I would say, you think? And that's just one of a zillion instances. When the Bible says we are dead in trespasses and sins, do you think it literally means that? It really does. The things that we do that are wrong, that's one thing. But the things we do that are wrong, that we think are right, that's even farther down the road of depravity. And when the Lord gives commands for justice, it's for people. It's for animals. It's for society. Verse 9, you shall not oppress a stranger, since you yourselves know the feelings of a stranger. For you also were strangers in the land of Egypt. Well, you meet a stranger all the time. Stranger is not somebody who belongs in your community. Comes in there and you say, you don't give him any, since he's a stranger, you don't know him, well, you won't give him justice. No, that's, again, in the eyes of God, God sees all that. And a person who fears the Lord will be careful not to oppress a stranger just because he's a stranger. See, it doesn't matter to God. God sees all men. We're to act impartially, stranger, whatever. If a Martian lands, we really should be nice to it. Ask if you can take a ride in the space vehicle he came in. That's justice, and it's loving and it's kind. But all the demands and protests and carrying signs and accusing and hateful, all the hate that is spewed out on Twitter and all these places today that's seeking justice, they are not seeking justice. They're seeking injustice on the other side. And both of those injustices are wrong. If there really is injustice, which often is not the case, but to say we got to have justice by having injustice on the other side is wrong. See, in the eyes of God, it has to be right in his sight. If it's not, it's injustice. If it's of any consequence, again, it's not injustice. I had a cheeseburger tonight for supper with mustard on it. And I'm sorry if you did not have that. I am sorry. I had hot dogs on Sunday night with mustard. I am sorry if you did not have that. But it's not injustice. Don't get your signs, hot dogs for all, and march the streets of Orangeburg. It's not injustice. Go to the store, buy you some hot dogs. But you see, when people get their... I better not say that. when people get their get all bent out of shape, I'll say that. And then they call whatever they're not pleased with injustice. That's selfish. Justice is not selfish. Justice is loving. Justice is considering other people and not trying to seek your own. And the world has it completely turned around. But as you see here, God is concerned about it. And these first few verses of chapter 23 speak of that true justice that God desires. Any thoughts or comments you have?